Welcome back to the Crossover Podcast, a show where you get comics, pop culture, and sports, and it is pop culture time as we're talking a little bit of wrestling here on the podcast. I'm your host, as always, Matt Pierce, and joining me today is Mac. How the heck are you, Mac?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Good to have you on. And rounding out the trifecta, whenever we're doing wrestling, is Bill Martin. How the heck are you, Bill?
I'm excited to watch 12 hours of wrestling this weekend.
Yeah, still, I'm pretty sure we say this every time we do our WrestleMania pods, but thank goodness they moved it to two nights. Some of those WrestleManias were pretty dreadful where when you were pushing near hour six, right? And it was getting near midnight of the seven-hour, Sunday night cards. Oh, that was pretty brutal. But we got a pretty damn good WrestleMania coming up here. So this is WrestleMania 40, big milestone number. And it's in Philly, birthplace of extreme professional wrestling in the United States of America, or so some would have you believe. It's a pretty good little card we got. A lot of the matches with just tremendous amounts of story behind them. I thought long-term storytelling was dead, but here we are with this Rhodes Reigns thing. It is... One year later, and they're going to do it again, only this time it's likely that Cody Rhodes will come away with a victory. Let's just gauge the interest here. Excitement level on a scale of 1 to 10, Bill, where are you at right now for WrestleMania 40?
I'm surprised that I'm at a 9 or a 10. I'm pretty excited. This is a great card.
I think I agree. I'm at a 9. I'm quite hyped. Now, some of that might have to do with the fact that I went to go see AEW in London last week. So I was at the taping in London, Ontario with Collision, right? Is the Saturday night show? Yeah, it was Collision. Great matches on the card that night, and that was live. Saw it all. We had a run in. We had the lights go out. Edge defended the title. I know what's happening. They also take Rampage, so I know what's happening on Rampage tomorrow night, but I'm not going to spoil that for anybody who might be interested in that sort of a thing. We saw a botched match finish. Well, a likely botched match finish. I don't think Top Flight was supposed to advance in that tag team tournament that they got going on, but it looked like they called an audible. It was it was a good crowd in London, too. God, they went nuts for... I didn't know London, Ontario was such a hotbed for indie wrestling action like that. I guess AEW's not really indie, but it's India Jace, right? Well, how about you, Mac? Scale of 1 to 10, how juiced are you for WrestleMania 40?
I am a cautious 8.5.
Ooh. Explain.
Yeah, we got a lot on the line. And I remember watching, last year's WrestleMania and just thinking, oh, come on. What are we going to do here? But it's an understatement to say a lot has developed since that point in time, right?
For sure.
And for better and for worse, I guess, if we're talking about WWE. But keeping it toward the matches and delivering, content here, there's nothing on here that I think is a throwaway to somebody that just has to be in there. And you know what? I know everybody loves Becky Lynch. She's the closest to we just need her involved in here. She's got to go against Rhea Ripley, right? That's the only match on here where I look and I'm just kind of she's kind of gratuitous. Nothing else really feels gratuitous here. I know I'm taking my life in my hands to say that Becky Lynch feels gratuitous, but... everything else in here is worked in fairly organically, fairly slickly. You know what I mean?
I agree. And you mentioned Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, so I guess we'll just get into it right now. So much like Queen Latifah, us and the WWE are going ladies first on night one because they're opening up the card with Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch in a singles match for the Women's World Championship. Rhea, she won the title at last WrestleMania. Am I right about that? It's last WrestleMania she won the title, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, she won the Rumble and then challenged... Oh, God, I don't remember who it was. Was it Charlotte?
Yeah,
it was Charlotte, right? All right, thanks for backing me up on that, Bill. So here we are a year later. Rhea Ripley has been a pretty good fighting champion. I will say... over the course of the year with Rhea Ripley, obviously the Judgment Day, you know, came to prominence and whatnot, and she has solidified herself as a top star in the company, easily top five right now, I would say. Probably the top female star they have. In addition to the internet being, I know I mention this every podcast, but just irrationally horny for Rhea Ripley. That, I don't know if you guys saw the clips of that. You know, you wake up in the morning sometimes, it's not even 8 o'clock, and you check Twitter, and all of a sudden, it's just... You know, it's blow. Sometimes it's too early to see Rhea Ripley's cheeks, you know? Sometimes it's just too goddamn early. And that happened one of the nights last week after that house show thing where she stink-faced Nia Jax. I don't know if you guys saw the clips of that, but at a certain point I was like, okay, goddammit, I need this off my timeline. It's too much. But, oh, man, yeah, so she just blew up the internet, blew up wrestling in her there a little bit. One thing that I would say over the year of this Rhea Ripley match is there has not been a match that she has had where I've been like, yeah, this person has a chance to flip the title. I would say the only one who has given her a credible match so far, and, you know, hold your ears if you're squeamish, I guess, but, like, Nia Jax has been pretty damn good in the ring since she's got back, and... Her and Ripley probably had the best match of Ripley's title defense so far, right? Because there hasn't been anybody who you actually saw in the ring with Rhea and go, yeah, she's a credible threat to her. She could potentially win the match, because they just haven't been feeding Ripley too many opponents where you're like, yeah, I think she could lose this match. Up until I didn't think Nia was going to take the belt off her, but that, and she didn't, especially in Perth. Although, you know how the WWE loves those hometown losses, right? So part of me was like, that was the only thing that had me thinking that she might have won, but obviously she didn't. And here we are with Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, probably the most credible threat to the title reign a year later. I don't think Becky Lynch is going to win. And the odds are reflecting that, because the odds right now are Rhea Ripley -500, Becky Lynch +300. I don't mind. I think I think my official pick for this match will be Rhea Ripley retains. I don't see them taking away the belt off of her just yet, especially with how just monstrous her title reign has been. But the gambler in me is saying that the +300 on Becky Lynch is worth a unit or two, just in case they feel like giving the man a bit of rub here on WrestleMania, and then making Ripley be the chaser again. So yeah, gambling odds, I say Becky Lynch, but my head says I think Rhea Ripley just retains, and this is a pretty darn good match. Mac, what say you on this one, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch?
Similar feelings that, oh, definitely worth that bet. And it's not out of the question for Becky to win, because this feels like the insert of, like, John Cena or Randy Orton into something, you know, back in their heyday, where it's just like, well, they've always got a chance to just get the belt because they're who they are. You know, I don't feel like Becky's going to go in there and, like disappoint the fans. They're gonna have a great match. They're both very capable of that. It just kind of lacks that build. It's that gratuitous nature that I don't like. And it's not that I don't like Becky Lynch either. It's the booking decision. And I never disliked John Cena or Randy Orton back in the "Lol, Cena wins, Raffle, so does Randy" years. It wasn't the individuals. It was the booking. I was like, ah, frig. So Nia was very credible. And I think they need to have a build with Nia or Cargill and have, like, the big beefy women build up and then actually pay off. And then maybe it happens in Perth. Who knows where it happens? But, like, that's what I want. That's what Rhea deserves. That's what this deserves with the dominant run that she's had.
Yeah, the WWE has certainly had an influx of beefy women. Last time we were on, we talked about the Royal Rumble, and we didn't get to react to Jordynne Grace showing up in the Royal Rumble. That was freaking awesome, and she got to have that beef off with Ivy Nile. Just a glimpse of what the future is going to be like. So that should be That should be awesome. That was really cool when Jordan Grace showed up in the Rumble. How about you, Bill? How you feeling? Rhea Ripley -500 favorite going into the first match of Saturday. Sorry, not Sunday.
I think Rhea Ripley's been like a victim of her own success this year. You know, she's like almost been too big to have her own matches. She's been like the head of the Judgment Day, right? She's just been too popular. But she has been having good matches. And I don't know that I agree that Becky Lynch is a bad choice for this one. Like, I think they've had I don't know if you've been watching on Twitter, but they've had kind of like a Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart feud thing going on where Becky Lynch is like, oh, you're shaking your butt too much. You got too many piercings and tattoos. It's exactly like what they used to say. So
she went and got a new one today. Apparently I saw WWE was posted her getting in the chair, getting inked, I think under the arm or something. But yeah, I don't know if it was like, I just glanced at it. I didn't stick around long enough to see if it was like her getting like a WrestleMania 40 tattoo or whatever it was. But just to your point, new tattoo.
Yeah,
WrestleMania 40, new tattoo debut for Rhea Ripley, apparently.
But I mean, I think that the best way to go, and probably what they wanted to do, was Charlotte versus Rhea rematch, right? But Charlotte's hurt. I like Becky. I think it'll be a great match. Like, Becky works. She's one of the best workers that they've got, right? So I think the match will be great, but I do think Rhea's going to win again. Yeah. Long story short, very, very roundabout way of saying Rhea Ripley's going to win.
Yeah, so Bill, official pick, Rhea Ripley, myself as well. How about you, Mac?
Yeah, I really don't see it going any other way.
All right, clean sweep for Rhea Ripley. Although, again, as the gambler in me is recommending putting a little bit on, just put a unit on Becky Lynch just in case, because you never know what the four horsewomen, they might just go ahead and get. I just don't see it. Like, it's Ripley's time, and I just really wish they would let, like, they've got to start building up some of the beefcake women to challenge Rhea Ripley. Like, man, I wish they would turn. Now, Raquel Rodriguez, I know, has some, you know, health issues, so, you know, get well soon to her. But when she comes back, for the love of God, make her heel and just let her start kicking the hell out of people. All right, next up, we got Gunther, the longest reigning intercontinental, in English, champion of all time, taking on Sami Zayn. And the odds for this one show, I believe Gunther's still a favorite. Where are you? There you are. Yep, Gunther -300, Sami Zayn +200. Boy, that is a tough one. I don't know which side of the story they want to go with here, because this, we're talking Sami Zayn is the guy who, you know, obviously he had a really, really good WrestleMania moment last year when him and Kevin Owens beat the Usos for the tag titles after the Usos had been the champions for so long. That was a really good match that I believe closed out night one and ended with the blood. That was kind of the first crack in the bloodline was them getting defeated for the tag titles. I mean, you got to get Gunther's heading to the world title in right after this WrestleMania, right? So the question is, do you want him also holding the Intercontinental Championship while he's doing that, or do you have Sami Zayn come through with a feel good moment? Because I could see them doing the, like, Gunther challenging Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns, and the two of them are standing there with both belts, and they do like a both belt thing, and then Gunther wins and then just retires the Intercontinental Championship. I could see that. I also fantasy booked with Mac a while ago that, well, actually, let's talk about this match first before I get into the silly fantasy booking, because I think, knife to my ribs on this one, I think Gunther's just going to retain in what is going to be a really, really good workhorse matchup between these two gentlemen who are just fantastic. What do you think, Bill? Let's start with you. Gunther or Sami Zayn?
Oof. I think I have to go Gunther. Like, I'm a Sami Zayn guy to the end, but I think it's got to be Gunther, and I think it's going to be maybe the best match of the weekend.
Yeah, this has got a lot. This is just going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. What about you, Mac? Gunther versus Sami Zayn.
That's really it, what Bill said there. You know, I really like Sami Zayn. This will be great. I think they put this there intentionally for us, you know, kind of workhorse smarks and this kind of thing, right? And it would be such a feel-good moment I love it, but like, oh, it's just too safe to keep it on Gunther, and like, because he's not losing stock, he's not stale yet, so I think Gunther will keep it.
Yeah, because I mean, they're heading on a European tour soon, right? And one would think you want Gunther holding the IC title for the European tour, because I'm pretty sure there's a couple stops in Z German along the way. I just keep thinking, because Gunther's got to get away from the IC title in 2024, right? Like, he should be challenging people first. Like, he should be in the world title picture by SummerSlam and probably be a threat to win next year's Rumble. He is so damn good. I remember I fantasy booked away, just to bring it back here, with Mac like a month or two ago to get the title off Gunther and have him go straight to the world title picture without, you know, with him still looking strong. And I guess for me that was Gunther beats Sami Zayn in just, you know, a absolute workhorse match where the two of them beat the dog crap out of each other, and then Damian Priest comes out and cashes in the Money in the Bank on the IC title instead of on the world title, because I don't see Damian Priest cashing in on a world title right now. Like, he's not there, right? But I could see him being like maybe Becky Lynch pulls off the upset on Rhea Ripley in match one, and then match two, he cashes in the IC title on Gunther, and Gunther still puts up, and, you know, let's say he goes 20-25 minutes with Sami Zayn, and then Damian Priest comes out, cashes in on him, and then he goes like another 20 with Priest, and then after the Judgment Day interferes a bunch of times, they finally, get one up on Gunther. Gunther loses, but after going like, you know, back-to-back matches, you're finally able to beat him. And that's how he loses it, where he still remains, you know, strong as hell, and then goes on to the world title after WrestleMania. Because, I don't know, I'm coming up with ways for him to not have the belt while still looking just strong as possible. And that's kind of all I can come up with, especially with, again, the IC title not anywhere near. I just can't see. Can you guys see Damian Priest cashing in on Seth Rollins or Cody Rhodes? Like, that's not going to happen. What do you think about that, Bill?
Well, I do love Damian Priest, but I agree that he hasn't really been booked as like a top guy lately. But I mean, like, I think I could see him cashing in on Seth Rollins. But Seth Rollins, I don't want to talk about Seth Rollins too much right now, because I think there's some weird stuff going on with him. So, but I don't know. Yeah, I think I really like your idea. I think that's much better.
Yeah, and there's precedent for it, because who was it? Austin Theory cashed in on the U.S. title or whatever, right? So there's at least precedent for cashing in on non-world world titles with the Money in the Bank. So we'll see. All right, let's go official pick. I'm going to say Gunther, but the gambler in me is saying put a unit on Sami Zayn at the plus 200 just in case. Mac, how about you? Gunther or Sami Zayn, official pick?
Gunther.
Gunther. And Bill, official pick?
Going to round it out. It's all
right. Clean sweep. Yeah, clean sweep for Gunther. All right, continuing on the night one matches, we have the six-pack tag team ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Championship. And I believe there's some new stipulation for this one where both sets of belts are going to be on the line. So that means two teams could walk out of this as champions. So that kind of throws a wrench in the... I guess that kind of throws a wrench in the strange in the title match for this one. I can't even find odds on it right now because how weird that stipulation is. So I guess even the silly online betting sites are not given odds on the tag teams, because this are going to be two winners, so they're not even going to know how to basically pay this out. But the Participants in the said six-pack ladder match will be the Judgment Day coming in as champions, Finn Balor and Damian Priest in English. Good Lord. Versus DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. The Awesome Truth, Miz and R-Truth. The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. A-Town Down Under, we're going to come back to that. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And the New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Now, before we get into the subtleties of this weird matchup that they're going to be doing, I have to have a conversation with you two gentlemen about this plague that is afflicting wrestling right now, specifically the two biggest companies, that is the WWE and AEW right now. This absolute slew we have, gentlemen, of horrendous tag team and group names right now has got to stop. We have got to start putting better... We've got to start putting a little bit more into a little bit more thought into these team names. Like, A-Town Down Under, garbage. The New Catch Republic, garbage. The, like, No Quarter Catch Crew or whatever the heck they're calling them on NXT, garbage. Like, Undisputed Kingdom on AEW, what the hell does that even mean? Garbage. And I don't even get me started on the fact that they can't settle on a damn name for whatever the heck Karrion Kross and the Powers of Pain group is supposed to be. That's not gonna be around in like a month or two anyway, like the Final Testament or whatever the heck they're calling themselves. This is awful, gentlemen. I don't know, am I out of line here or what say you, Mac? What do you think?
We've had some really elegant names in the past, you know, Show Miz, hell no, you know, nice injury.
Oh, I didn't like those ones either. Honestly, I hate when they just squish the two names together to make a tag team name. Like, I'm not big on the Awesome Truth either, but there's at least precedent for this team from, you know, many years ago, but just wild. This is terrible stuff. This is terrible stuff that we're doing right now, in my opinion.
We don't see it, you know, think of some other famous faction names. They're all much better, much elegant and cohesive, you know? Those are Glover Nobles Japan, you know what I mean? L.I.J., New World Order, Latino World Order, anyway.
The Viking Experience.
The Viking Experience, right? That was terrible. That lasted like a week, right? Even they were like, this is too terrible for them to keep up. Oh, that's too bad, but...
The understanding, like, these things are just so fluid that they don't give a damn.
I guess, yeah, like, that's probably, you're probably 100% correct on that one, Mac. It's just, I'm just asking for a little effort, because these are terrible. Like, A-Town Down Under might be the worst of all of them. Like, it doesn't make it, oh, God, it's bad, it's bad. It's
absolutely
bad. I wish
I had the John Boy video where it's Joe Girardi arguing with Angel Hernandez, and he just says, it's just so bad.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Oh, Angel's the worst. Oh, God. Okay, and I don't know how they're going to do this one, because I guess, are they going to have the ladder, like, two spots for the belts? Like, are the belts going to be in two separate spots, or are they going to be in the same spot, but you climb up once, and you can only grab one set, and then you got to come back down and grab another one? I assume they'll have it. They'll have them kind of on two separate sides of the ring for them to climb up, right? Like, that would make the most sense because they're splitting the belts. This is probably why the state of tag team wrestling in the WWE is so bad, because they shouldn't be splitting up the belts because they don't have enough, because we're going with names like A-Town Down Under right now. Yeah, I don't think they should be splitting it. They just should be getting rid of the Undisputed and just having one set, and then the tag team champions can go on to both shows. That seems like the easiest to me. But, yeah, I guess they're going to split the belts. One team will go to Raw, one team will go to SmackDown, and we'll do that for a little bit before they unify them again, probably in a year or two. But here we are. We got Judgment Day, DIY, Awesome Truth, The New Day, A-Town Down Under, and the New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Let's start with you, Mac. Who do you think are going to be the two teams coming away with titles in this one?
This is a hard one to sort, because I gotta I gotta throw away some and keep in mind who's like a real, who's real contenders here. A-Town Down Under, probably not. I'm sorry. New Catch Republic, probably not. You know, and since their names are kind of crappy, that's, we can let them go. that leaves Judgment Day, DIY, Awesome Truth, and New Day. Awesome Truth, probably not either. Okay, so now we're left with Judgment Day, DIY, and New Day. So then I think, is Judgment Day going to retain? Does it make sense for them to... Oh, right, but this is it. We're going to have two belts. They can retain, and then some other belt is going to go to either DIY or New Day. Huh. All right, between the two, who needs the rub, DIY or New Day? Let me think about that for, I don't know, flip a coin. DIY gets a belt, and then Damian Priest and Finn Balor retain. Not that I don't want the New Day to have them, but... I don't know. I'm really just doing a coin flip between DIY and New Day.
Okay, so you're going your official pick. You're saying Judgment Day gets one set and then the New Day get the other? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I'm going to say DIY gets the other.
Oh, DIY get the other set. I could see that. I mean, it's good, just as good as any. How about you, Bill? What are your feelings on the six-pack tag team ladder match with two sets of belts on the line?
I think my feelings are that meme where it's like the lady looking at all the diagrams and math equations.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. I know that one you're thinking of.
Yeah, so here's what I'm thinking. I think that there's going to be a lot of villain victories on night one. So I think that giving us a happy, make everybody, you know, feel good moment is in order here. So I think I want to say the New Day is going to take a belt.
Okay.
A set of belts, just because everybody loves New Day. Nobody would be mad. Everybody would be pumped about that. And then just because I feel like you're right and Damian Priest is going to cash in some form, I don't think that they're going to retain, because they don't like having people have more than one belt. So let's go. I like the horrible name of A-Town Down Under. I like the team up, not the name. But that's it. So my official pick is going to be A-Town Down Under and the New Day. But part of me wants to think that R-Truth is going to end up with one of each of those titles.
Like, he's going to go up and grab one and then go up and grab the other? I could see that.
Yeah, one of the Raw and one of the SmackDown.
Yeah, I could see that. That'd be a fun bit. All right, so your official pick is New Day and A-Town. I guess this is a testament to them and how well they've set this up. I think I've got Awesome Truth winning one set of belts, because they've been doing enough with him that and the Judgment Day and the mix up stuff that is just so hilarious with him trying to join them and then being like no and just keep coming back. He is so funny. He works so well with them. I didn't think that was gonna work. I thought all those bits were funny. I could see him winning one set of the belts. And then on Monday Night Raw, showing up in the Judgment Day's little purple room there and being like, "We did it, guys! We won the belts!" And then being like, "Get away from us!" Right? So for that reason, I'm giving one of the sets of belts to Awesome Truth, and oh man, but I do think it's gonna be heel. I do think it's gonna be one heel, one. One face team, right? So I think I'm gonna go. I think I'm gonna follow. Oh God, I think I'm gonna say Awesome Truth and A-Town Down Under as well. Yeah. So the only one we're definitively saying has probably no shot in this match is the New Catch Republic of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. But they'll do some cool stuff, like Pete Dunne or suplex somebody into a ladder and it'll look terrible, and Tyler Bate will probably like run across the ring but underneath ladders and stuff real fast, just doing cool shit. This should be a fun little spotty match overall. Unfortunately, I can't give you a we got no odds for this one, so no betting odds. All right, moving on. Jimmy and Jey Uso are continuing the long classic The long sustained history of brothers facing each other in WrestleMania, going all the way back to Owen and Brett, Undertaker and you know, even kayfabe brothers, Undertaker and Kane. Oh God, I'm forgetting somebody else too. There's another set of brothers that fought. Oh, Matt and Jeff Hardy fought each other at WrestleMania. The odds right now, we got Jey Uso -250. Versus Jimmy Uso +170, so Jey Uso. This is going to be a good match. My only thought on this one is I wish it had a stipulation of some sorts. This match, just does this feel like this match to have a stipulation? I don't know. What are your thoughts? Bill, let's start with you. Jimmy versus Jey Uso, who you got?
I agree. I'm really disappointed that this hasn't had more of a blood feud build, you know? Maybe this is the start of a blood feud and I don't know, is there like an Extreme Rules coming up and then they'll kill each other? I think it'll be a great match, and I think I've got to go with Jey. It's got to be Jey. But then again, it could be Jimmy. They are twins. It could go either way.
I agree. I'm going... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think I'll go Jey just because he comes first alphabetically.
I agree. I'm going with Jey as well, and I'm laying the 250 with him too. So I think Yeah, I'm laying the 250 and I'm taking Jey Uso. Mac, what say you on this one?
So, Jey Uso is not favored.
Jey Uso is favored. Yes, he's -2. He's -250. So I'm laying the juice with Jey Uso.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that means he's more the face and he is favored.
Yes.
That surprises me. Right? Like the bloodlines in Jimmy's corner, this is these guys' kind of personal feud, but like Jimmy could just be like, yeah, help me, right? And then Solo would pop out or whatever.
It's true.
So I'm going to go with Jimmy.
All right. Okay. Our first disagreement so far, because that tag team mess, that doesn't really count, I don't think. All right. I like that. Mac taking the upset and Jimmy Uso. I like that. I guess I could see that. But I mean, I think it's just Jimmy. I think it's Jey in this one because Jimmy just doesn't win singles matches. They've been pushing him as more of a singles competitor than Jey. Jimmy's been getting the better of Jey the last 2 months too. Like he's been costing Jey everything, and Jimmy's been getting the better of him here and there. So it just seems right. And we've already got a few heel wins, so we got to get a nice face win here at some point. So. So Bill and I are going with Jey Uso, the favorite, and Mac is throwing a curveball there and going with Jimmy. I like that. All right, next up, we got the six-woman tag team match that features Damage Control members Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane versus Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill. That is a lot of beef on one side of the match. This is going to be great. Jade Cargill making her debut in this one after a entrance last week on SmackDown that was holy hell. Did that look good? That was glorious. She looked like a million goddamn bucks in that for the what is undoubtedly going to be the future of the women's division. Odds for this one not great if you're a Damage Control fan, because this is the biggest favorite of the entire weekend. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi going off at -2,000. That means you got to bet $200 to win a buck if you want any piece of this action. Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane, Damage Control, they're going off at +700. I don't have anything to add to this one, other than to say a quick prayer for Kairi Sane in this matchup, because Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair are going to be press slamming her around the ring like a sack of potatoes this entire match. God bless that woman, because they're it's going to be an old fashioned feats of strength between Bianca and Jade, I think. And Kairi Sane is just going to be the oh boy, she's going to be the tackling dummy in this particular matchup. I'm going with I don't need to say much on this one. I'm going with the favorite, Bianca, Jade, Naomi. I'm obviously not I'm laying the 2,000. It's not anything. You're gonna want to parlay these two, so that, this team, because I just don't see Jade Cargill's getting the pin. They're gonna make her look strong. There's no way. Unfortunately, Damage Control. I think it's gonna be a tough WrestleMania for Damage Control on both night one and night two, but specifically night one, because I just there's no way Damage Control is winning this matchup. Jade Cargill gets the pin on either Dakota Kai or Kairi Sane, I imagine, and. Yeah, and it just ends with her flexing in the middle of the ring in more ways than one. Bill, what do you think? Bianca, Jade, and Naomi versus Damage Control.
As the unofficial president of the Asuka fan club, not even I can choose them to win. They're toast. I just hope Kari comes out in a helmet or something.
Yeah, I hope they get a cool entrance. Yeah, like they get a cool...
I just mean like a safety helmet.
Oh yeah, it just comes out dressed like those safety dummies, like those crash test dummies. Oh my god, hopefully this is gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad. Mac, what do you think on this one?
Yeah, I can't rock this boat. I think the team Big and Strong is gonna look good and overcome some plucky, crafty opponents here. And yeah, we're gonna see some insane stuff from Kairi.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. Do you think this will serve a purpose with damage control and Bailey? Like, will she rub this in their face, or will that be utilized somehow? Like, will this loss further something with Bailey somehow?
Perhaps in a promo afterwards, like you could see the three of them in the back, like clutching their necks and their backs and stuff, and then Bailey just kind of comes by and laughs at him and goes, "Ah, look at you guys, this shit didn't happen when I was in charge," sort of a thing, right? But I don't see like Bailey interfering if that's what you're getting at. I think this is a honestly, if you ask me to guess how this goes, I think. Bianca and Naomi work with the three members of Damage Control. This is a pretty feisty, spunky matchup, and it ends with Jade Cargill getting the hot tag and then just press slamming everybody the hell all over the place. And then it ends with that underhook face plant move that she does. And just like, I don't even see Jade Cargill taking a bump in this matchup. I think she gets the hot tag, cleans house, that underhook slam move that she does, 1, 2, 3. And then they're just flexing on him at the end of the match, because yeah, there's just no way. This is Jade Cargill's debut match in the WWE. The only question I have is, after the match is over, does Jade Cargill do anything to become like a heel? Like, do they start her out as a monster muscle mommy heel by like having her clothesline Bianca or Naomi or somebody? What do you think? Yeah. What do you think what do you think the chances of that are? Like, I pop for that. If that happens, I'll pop hard. If we start off with heel Jade, what do you think scale of 1 to 10 in terms of or just give me a percentage in amount that you think that might happen, Bill?
Well, now that you've said it, I can't stop thinking about it. So I'm going to say 100%.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's the only question I have in this match is does Jade Cargill, after cleaning house, does she clothesline Bianca or Naomi, and we start off with heel Jade? Because they'll just be done with the Damage Control plot line after that, I would imagine. How about you, Mac? What would your feelings be for a Jade Cargill potential heel turn at the end of the night or at the end of the match?
Yeah, I'll say 60 or 65% maybe, because it would make sense, and I think the way she's been kind of built up and stuff, like, people probably are expecting a singles run with her. So that would work. Yeah, and being done with the Damage Control storyline, their dissolution is the kind of soil from which Jade Cargill's solo run begins or something. I don't know.
I agree. So we're all picking team team beef on this one. Bianca, Jade Cargill, Naomi. I don't think I hear any dissenting opinions there. That's gonna be a clean sweep. They're the biggest favorite of the weekend. All right, two matches left for night one. Next up, we got Latino World Order, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio in a tag team match. Where are the odds? Aha! Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar are the favorites in this one at minus 250. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee going off at plus 170. I don't have a lot to say about this one other than I think I'm going to pick the LWO to come away with the W here with Rey and Dragon Lee, and I'm going to take that plus 170 upset with these two gentlemen. What say you, Mac?
So what are the Vegas odds?
Latino World Order, so the good guys, Rey and Dragon Lee are plus 170 underdogs. Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar are minus 250.
Okay.
And I assume the logic there is they think that Santos Escobar is probably the biggest future star of this matchup. So that would make him likely to get the strongest and get the W in this one. I think that's what the odds logic is, would be there.
Okay, that is a good point in that the Judgment Day stable, you know, doesn't want to lose too much, and they still kind of want to remain dominant. Maybe it's not enough just to have. Well, then again, we have probably Rhea winning. Okay, I'll side with you.
And don't forget about my insane Money in the Bank cash in on Gunther.
That's true. They could have that too, and then that's Damian Priest really shining. So maybe at least maybe they can take the 1L and have a member of Judgment Day be involved in a loss. So and give the Latino World Order a face win. That should round it out.
All right. So Max official pick is the LWO. Yeah, I just see them giving the crowd a pop on that at some point. I don't see much coming out of this matchup because the build has just been kind of. It's been kind of a weak mid to low card build for these guys, which kind of sucks because I love all these guys. But Dom's best work, obviously, has been with the Judgment Day, not necessarily with his dad. But I could just see that, especially since Ray's like barely, coming back from some knee injuries. I like the plus 170 because I could just see them being like, let's just let Ray pin Dom and let the crowd go wild on WrestleMania, right? Like, people would want to see that. How about you, Bill?
I'm gonna go with Santos and Dom only because I don't think that they can resist the temptation of the boos that will come from Dominic pinning his dad. Like he's had such a nuclear year, it would just be so funny to see it.
Yeah, I think that'd be all right. Okay, so Mac and I are going with the LWO, and Bill's going with Santos and Dom. I like this. Last match in night one, we have the Bloodline, The Rock. And Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins in a tag team match with the stipulation that if Rhodes and Rollins win, all the members of the Bloodline will be barred from ringside during the main event of Night 2. And if The Rock and Reigns win, the championship match on Night 2 will be held under Bloodline rules. This is the second biggest favorite of the weekend. Tied for the second biggest favorite of the weekend. Obviously behind Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. Roman Reigns and The Rock are a minus 700 favorite in this with Rollins and Rhodes coming in at plus 400. And I believe the reason they are coming in at the plus 400 is because storyline-wise, I don't think it makes a lick of sense for... Now, I'm no writer, but storyline-wise, it doesn't really make a lick of sense for Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins to pick up a victory on night one now, does it, gentlemen? It makes too much sense for both of their storylines going into night two that Rollins and Rhodes have lost. Rhodes, the story gets even tougher for him because if they lose this, then they got to go into night two with the Bloodline being able to swarm the ring and who knows how many other Samoans and hoodies could show up and help Roman Reigns defend the or retain the belt. As well as there's, Drew McIntyre could easily interfere on behalf of the Bloodline or not really on behalf of the Bloodline, but on behalf of setting up his night two match for the title against Rollins. It just storyline wise, it just doesn't make sense for The Rock and Roman Reigns to lose this. And this way Reigns gets to win one of the two matchups and stay strong. Plus The Rock didn't come back to lose at WrestleMania, right? That don't make no sense. I'm laying the minus 700 with the Bloodline and saying that there will be the stipulation that the Reigns-Cody Undisputed WWE Universal Championship match will be under Bloodline rules. Mac, what say you? Bloodline versus Rhodes and Rollins.
Oh, that would work. Because, we're not getting... It's got to be something like that. And if that happened, you'll get the Samoans and the Hoodies, and maybe some other people will show up, as surprise to even the odds and, see that it... he got by with a little help from his friends or something like that. And I still think, who knows what tricks are going to be up their sleeve. I'm really going into this without a lot of expectation and just you know what I mean? Not overthinking it, not even getting too invested. I'm just letting it happen, and just, it'll be entertaining, I think, either way. Not getting my hopes up either for anything. So I think what you said makes sense, though. So I'll go with Bloodline wins on night one.
All right. We got to give it up for The Rock, too, who's just been bringing back the Attitude Era throwbacks over the last couple of weeks that he's been doing. It's been phenomenal. It's good to see him. I can't believe he's back. I can't believe he's working heel. And it's just been... It's been a delight to watch. Bill, what say you on this one with the Bloodline versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you've said. Like, there's like no narrative way that the Bloodline could lose this match. Like, it just wouldn't make any sense. The only thing that I want to add is, like, what is this? Like, what is going on with Seth Rollins here? Like, since when is Seth Rollins like, I'm going to be your best buddy and back you up? Like, he's going to hit Cody Rhodes in the back with a chair, right? Like, that's what's going to end the match. It has to be. There's no way he's going to do this. I can't believe him at all.
Oh, you're thinking turn for freaking.
Yeah, it's so unlike Seth Rollins to just be somebody's sidekick.
It's true. It's true. I can see. I've heard some people there's been a lot of fantasy booking of this, and I've heard some, this is going to be a good match. The Bloodline are going to win this match. The intriguing part, the intriguing part of this match is not that the Bloodline is going to win. It's how they are going to win, right? And like you suggested, is Seth freaking Rollins going to turn on Cody Rhodes? Like, is the architect of the destruction of the Shield, the man whose music yells burn it down when he comes out, is he going to turn on Cody to make it even worse, to make the story even crazier for Cody? Is Drew McIntyre just going to interfere? Because there's been, scenes of Paul Heyman whispering into Drew McIntyre's, ear and whatnot. So, does Drew McIntyre just interfere and take out Seth Rollins ahead of the night? There's just so many ways this can go. I'm curious to see how many bumps The Rock's going to take in this match. It's just a lot here. This is going to be great. This is a great match to end night one. It really is. This is a great match to end night one. I usually like seeing the ladies end night one because I think that's their spot. But the fact that Rhea and Becky get to open the show, I think, is pretty cool because this just has to be the... Unfortunately, this has to be the match that ends night one. I could see it. I could see the Seth Rollins heel turn. I could. I really could. There's a few ways this could end. Obviously, Solo Sikoa has to make has to make a run in at some point. It's just, oh, this is so good. This is so good. I'm so excited for this WrestleMania. So, I'm officially laying the 700 with the Bloodline. Mac, I believe you said the Bloodline as well. Bill, how about you for this matchup?
Oh, Bloodline for sure.
All right, clean sweep for the Bloodline. It just, like we were saying, it just doesn't narratively make sense whatsoever for them not to end night one without Cody Rhodes with the hell beat out of him in the middle of the ring. Maybe even a little bit of blood before taking on... Cody's going to bleed in one of these matchups, right?
I'd say both.
You think it both? You think it double blood? Yeah. Oh, man, double blood. If you had to pick one... Would you rather see him bleed in this one With the image of him bleeding in the middle of the ring with The Rock and the Bloodline, you know, with the ones in the air standing over top of a bloody Cody Rhodes, or would you rather him holding the belt night two? If you could only choose one, or would you rather night two him clutching the Universal title with blood, you know, with the Crimson Mask, if you will?
I think a night one bloodbath would be a nice way to end it.
Mm. How about you, Mac? Which one of those two would you pick?
All right, I'll be contrarian. Maybe night two, he's got to overcome, you know, so much, and you know he could be holding it all bloodied up and just still just be like, "I did it," you know.
This could be good. Could be good. This is gonna be great. This is gonna be a great weekend. This is gonna be a good WrestleMania. All right, let's head. So that's it for night one. Let's head over to night two, and it looks like they're gonna open up with the people of Wikipedia. I know for sure they've said they're opening up with Rhea and Becky on night one. I don't know if this is true, but let's go in the order that the good people of Wikipedia have here for night two. And it says that they're going to open up with Seth freaking Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre, and CM Punk will be in at ringside for commentary. That promo, the two, him and McIntyre had that back and forth a couple weeks ago on Raw, that was some of the best shit they've done in a while. Because, like, the thing about, the dirty secret about CM Punk and his whole career, at least his WWE adjacent career, I think, is CM Punk's always been better when he's running up against, when he's running kind of parallel to reality, like, to what's going on in real life, and in blurring that, like, kind of kayfabe real life line, that's when he's always doing his best stuff. So that back and forth he had with Drew McIntyre was just phenomenal, with the two of them going back and forth. It didn't sound like overly scripted or anything. It was just excellent. Drew McIntyre, a heavy favorite to walk out of night two in Philadelphia as the WWE heavyweight champion. He's -650 favorite. Seth Rollins +375 going in on this one. God, would they really move both belts? I kind of, gambling wise, I can tell you right now, I'm gonna sprinkle a unit on Seth Rollins at +375. You're telling me Seth Rollins can't walk out of night two with the belt? That doesn't make sense to me. So, gambling wise, you're going to be sprinkling on Seth Rollins as the +375 underdog. As for who's going to win this match, I'm having trouble with this one. Let me throw it to you, gentlemen. Bill, let's start with you. How about, what are you thinking in Freakin versus Drew McIntyre?
In a vacuum, I would say Drew McIntyre is going to win this match, guaranteed. But the fact that he's also feuding with CM Punk just confuses me again. Once again, I'm very confused. And so I'm assuming, which maybe is what they want me to do, is that CM Punk's going to get involved in this match and cost Drew McIntyre the match. So I guess I'm going to say Seth Rollins.
Yeah. All right. I think I agree too. I might just say, I'm gonna say Rollins is going to... The thing is, I mean, I'm taking the +375, but Drew McIntyre got really stale there, right? He was really stale this time last year. He's been doing some really great heel work. Cut the best promo of his career, like we were talking, the one I was talking about a couple weeks ago with him and CM Punk. That was easily the best promo of his career. He's been doing great promo work between the two of them. He needs the belt more than Seth Rollins, I would say. So that is the thing that would lead me to believe why he's the -650 favorite. Obviously, this was not supposed to be the match. Drew McIntyre was not supposed to be taking on Seth Rollins. He was supposed to be taking on CM Punk, but Punk obviously, you know, injured his elbow and is not involved in this matchup and will be on commentary. I could see Drew McIntyre walking out, but I'm gonna say Seth Rollins as well, just because there's too much going on, but. McIntyre, like, character-wise, he really needs this win and this belt in order to... I just think it would improve upon what they've already got going on with him. How about you, Mac? What say you?
Yeah, and maybe it's, you know, that's what I want, so I don't want
to... I'm going to... Sorry to interrupt. I'm going to say Drew, but I'm going to... I'm going to say Drew officially wins this match, but my money as a gambler will be on Seth Rollins, so that makes you the tiebreaker for this one, Mac. Pardon me.
All right, that's okay. I'll go with Drew again. He needs it way more than Seth does. Seth could, you know, this could push him over the edge and, like, make him unstable and not, and maybe, I don't know, defend or antagonize Cody later in the bloodline rules or, like, because, okay, Drew hasn't re-signed with WWE, but he's getting all this TV time. Like, why are you giving us all this TV time if he just loses now, goes away? They wouldn't invest in him like that. So, all right, I'm going to go with Drew.
That's a good real life point by Mac there, that's for sure. But yeah, like Drew, like I think like the things for Drew is for the character, like great work character wise, needs the belt more than Rollins. Rollins will probably get the hell beat out of him night one, and like he you know, if you're talking like you know, like if you're treating wrestling like it's sports, you're talking that oh man, you know, Rollins ends night one getting the hell beat of him, and then he's got to open night two on very little rest, right? You know, it's kind of like a back-to-back in hockey and basketball when you're like, oh man, schedule loss for Seth Rollins, right? Like, so there's a little bit of that there as well. It just kind of doesn't make sense that Drew would lose this match unless, but I mean, there's the CM Punk wrench. I'm curious to see what our analysis for this match would be if we were recording it after night one and we know what happens with Seth Rollins in the Bloodline match, and does Drew interfere there? It's that's strange. Anyway, Mac and I are going with Drew. Bill's going with Seth. And we're moving on to another championship match as we have a singles match for the WWE Women's Championship that features Io Sky versus Bayley. And Bayley is getting some heavy wood. She is a minus 700 favorite to walk out of this match as the champion. Io Sky is plus 400. Gambling-wise, I'm going to have my money on Io Sky again because, you know, what's to say damage control doesn't interfere, but... This is just kind of weird because I don't feel like I get that it's, you know, they sort of turned on Bayley. Just this feud kind of has damage control turning on Bayley kind of hasn't gone the way I wanted it to, because it's never really felt like, and I don't know, you guys can let me know if you feel the same way. To me, this has never really felt like Io Sky's title. You know, I've never really felt like Io Sky was the champion. I always kind of felt like Damage Control as a unit was the champion. Because, I don't know, you don't really see Io, because Io's not in there cutting promos and doing all this stuff. So it's I don't know, it's been kind of strange. It's been kind of strange. So I just, of the two women's matches, I can't see them Rhea retaining and Io Sky retaining. And it makes, the odds are reflecting that because it's showing Bayley as a minus 700 favorite. I'm going to say Bayley, but I'm going to put the money on Io Sky. I'm going to sprinkle my money on Io Sky just in case damage control interferes, but who knows. Bayley, massive favorite, minus 700. Mac, what say you on Bayley versus Io Sky?
Yeah, I see why Bayley is the favorite. She could use the shot in the arm, and, you know, they want to keep her important, so this, you know, this would be how you do it. And it would make sense, and I can't really see it going any other way, so I'm going to go Bayley.
All right, Mac is officially picking Bayley. How about you, Bill? What are your thoughts on this match?
I'm also going to pick Bayley officially. I think that the build's been a little bit disappointing because I really like both of them, and it had a lot of potential, but they just didn't give it a lot of storyline time, which was really disappointing, but I think the match will be good, but Bayley will definitely win. Time to give her flowers, you know.
Agreed. It just feels like a Bayley win. There's a minus 700. It ends with her kind of standing over the damage, what's left of damage control. It's just weird because Damage Control really needs this belt, right? Because like I said, it's never really felt like Io Sky. To me, it never really felt like Io Sky has been the champion. It just always felt like Damage Control was the champion because it was always... I don't know. Anyway, moving on from that one. Should be really good. That's probably going to be the best, in terms of work rate, probably the best match of the women's. I could see it being Io Sky and Bayley. This is just going to be them doing a lot of cool crap in this matchup, I think. Next up, we got a singles match between LA Knight and AJ Styles. LA Knight, big favorite, minus 600. AJ Styles going off at 350. This match is going to be a... This match also feels like it needs a stipulation. One of AJ Styles versus LA Knight or Jimmy or the Usos facing each other. One of these two matchups feels like it needs a stipulation. This match is not going to be anything to me other than a barometer for where they are on LA Knight. If LA Knight loses this match to AJ Styles, you might want to stick a fork in him as far as anything with him going forward as to whether or not that character can get hot again. Other than that, this should just be a dope match. AJ Styles is juiced these days. He came back absolutely jackhouse since the time. He looks like something the old AJ Styles ate. I'm going with Mr. Los Angeles Knight on this one. And I think he's just gonna win, and I'm gonna lay the minus 600 on LA Knight too. He needs this win more than AJ Styles, even though AJ Styles has been winning a whole of a hell lot recently. But yeah, I'm going with Los Angeles Knight on this one. Bill, what say you?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think LA Knight's gonna win just because. I'm not sure why, but I think he's more on the upswing, I guess. You're totally right. It's all juice Styles now. I guess that's what the AJ stands for, because that guy is like twice the size that he used to be.
That's well played. All right, so LA Knight from me, LA Knight from Bill. How about you, Matt?
I don't have a contrarian opinion on this one, because AJ losing doesn't matter. You know what I mean? He's always good, and he just lands on his feet and then does something else, and... You're right. If LA loses this, I think his stock will drop way more than they'd want it to. So he's not going to lose.
All right. Next up, triple threat match for the WWE United States Championship. We have the champion Logan Paul heading into the match against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens with the... Basically, the factor looming over this one, like the sword of Damocles, is that Randy Orton and Kevin Owens have been the most prolific heel turners of the last 10 years or so in the business. Neither of them, the two least trusted individuals, and they've been put in this tentative match. Where they are expected to beat the hell out of the internet's least favorite person, Logan Paul. But will one of them betray the other at some point? Because they're just too damn greedy and they don't know what to do. Logan Paul, heavy favorite to retain in this. He's minus 450. Randy Orton, plus 425. Kevin Owens, plus 400 in this one. So... I guess it just seems to think that Randy Orton and Kevin Owens are not going to be able to coexist in this triple threat, and eventually the crossing and the double crossing triple might be like, it's going to be like a Mission Impossible movie in the ring in this matchup, and it's going to result in Logan Paul getting the drop on somebody, probably picking up the pieces and falling on top of somebody for the 1-2-3 and retaining his United States Championship. Mac, what say you on this one? Logan Paul versus Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, U.S. title on the line.
I hesitant to see it changing because it's, you know what I mean? It's like that chase. They want people to be invested in Logan going down. I mean, this would have him being going down and going down hard. But since I don't see the next step for keeping him in the fold. Like if he loses, like, I don't see him being on TV or being involved with the product for a while. Yeah, and, like, I think he puts enough butts in seats that they won't have him lose. They'll do something, so, like, yeah, Randy looks decent. Owens eats a loss for some kind of dumb reason or flunky thing, and then Logan retains. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, we're going to get one of the all-timer babyface wins in Cody Rhodes, presumably, anyway. We're going to get one of the all-timer babyface wins in Cody Rhodes at the end of night two. So I just can't see Logan Paul also losing the United States Championship. So I think we go with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens try to out-double-cross each other in this matchup, and Logan Paul gets the brass knucks on somebody and ends up retaining. Plus, you know, Logan, like, one of the stooges that is part of Logan Paul's, like, a YouTube channel or whatever is probably going to rear his ugly head in this one, too. How about you, Bill? What do you say about this one? Logan Paul defending the U.S. title in a triple threat.
I think Logan Paul is going to retain for no other reason than to make me angry that he's so good and always wins.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. Like, all three of them are really entertaining, right? We're going to see, like, a crazy RKO on somebody. Like, we'll see some stunners, and they're all just going to double-cross and triple-cross each other. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. But, yeah, Logan Paul's going to win. There's no way.
Yeah, this is going to be the spot fest. Like, night one, the spot fest is likely going to be the tag team ladder match, right? This will be the spot fest of night two, Logan Paul, because it's going to be all RKOs, all stunners, all Logan Paul jumping off stuff. There'll be probably a run-in from one of Logan Paul's cronies. And, I remember I jokingly said to Mac a couple weeks ago, in order to hype up this dumb Tyson-Jake Paul thing, if Jake Paul got involved and then WrestleMania legend Mike Tyson came out to to try to get a piece of Jake Paul, that would be fun. But that's pure Matt Pierce. That's nobody else is saying that's going to happen. Mac, official pick Logan Paul for this one too?
Yep.
All right, clean sweep on Logan Paul retaining the U.S. title, and like I said, I'm gonna lay the 450 with him too. All right, second last matchup of WrestleMania, we got a 6-man tag team Philadelphia Street fight between the Pride, as apparently they're being known now, yet another just awful name. But of the awful names we have right now, this one is not even the worst one in the matchup. We got Bobby Lashley, D'Angelo Hawkins, Montez Ford, and with B-Fab taking on the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar with Scarlett and Paul Ehring. There's no way. They've got this booked as the second last match of WrestleMania. No way that happens. This feels like a damn kickoff show match, for God's sake. Where are the odds on this one? Bobby Lashley and the former Street Profits are a minus 200 favorite with the Final Testament as a plus 150. Where do you guys stand on Karrion Kross's finisher? Because this is a divisive thing on the internet right now. Is Karrion Kross's finisher seems to be either you love it or you hate it. Bill, any thoughts on Karrion Kross's weird finisher?
You know what? I don't think I've seen it.
It has a superfluous pump handle, is what it is. Like, it's so weird because he sets them up like he goes for the pump handle slam, but then he lifts them onto his shoulder, and then flips them onto his back, and then does an F5 with it. Basically, it's a superfluous pump handle into an F5. It's a lot of nothing, right? Like, there's a lot of nothing leading up to an F5 is what it is. And I just kind of, like, every time I see it, I just kind of laugh at it. Because, like the pump handle is just so, like, the pump handle part of it is so unnecessary. But if you don't have it, he's just doing Brock Lesnar's F5. So it's just wild that's what they settled on. This Karrion Kross thing is not clicking. This team up with Akam and Rezar is just not working either for me. I think these guys, Akam and Rezar, get away from him and become the Powers of Pain within a couple of months, and they're challenging for the tag titles. And I just see Karrion Kross on, like, NXT or something in 2 months, because this is the, like, fourth go around with him, and it just does not click. It's I don't know. I feel like Regina George right now, where it's like, stop trying to make Karrion Kross happen. It's not going to happen. For that reason and more, I guess this match will tell us which group is going to be around in, like, around in 2 months. Whoever wins this match is going to be around in 2 months. The other group will not. The other group will have broken up and gone their kind of separate ways. That's how I feel about this matchup. Whoever wins will be around come Backlash, and the other group will not. Mac, what do you think about this? The Pride versus the Final Testament, apparently. Good Lord.
Yeah, again, with the scraping the bottom of the barrel for these names, man. no, the Pride's the one that's going to be around, and maybe they don't call themselves that. Maybe it's just like, I don't know, Street Profits and their buddy Bobby Lashley. Like, I don't know why they need to call themselves something different. Or can't Bobby just be a member of the Street Profits for a period of time? But anyway, they will be around. Final Testament won't. And yes, hopefully Kamen Rezar. Because, like, why take these guys who, you know, kind of had a reputation for being a really great tag team and turn them into something else? You know, just let them wind them up and let them do their thing. As far as Karrion Kross, is it him? Does he need a repackage, or do they just need to book him as a single competitor? Like,
it's so, I don't know. He came up initially, right? But like when he came, he was hot as a pistol, right? In NXT when it was time for him to come up, and then when he came up, Vince slapped that weird mask on him and took away Scarlett, right? He took away Scarlett, took away his cool entrance, took away his cool music, and slapped like a gimp mask on him, and said, "Walk out there and make it work." And he didn't, and he disappeared for a couple months, came back, no mask, no Scarlett, leather jacket, attacked Drew McIntyre a couple of times, had a match with him, lost, disappeared again, and then came back with the full Scarlett ensemble, like with the thing that made him popular in NXT, which was, you know, the Scarlett, the black and white, the cryptic messages, the what do you call it? The friggin' hourglass thing. Everything that made him work. But by then it was just kind of too late. So then he disappeared, and then he came back again with the superfluous pump handle slam F5 and Paul Ellering and the Powers of Pain. And the Authors of Pain, not the Powers of Pain. And I don't know, it just hasn't been clicking again, so this just might not be something that happens. And for that reason, I'm going with the Pride, I guess, is their note now. I'm going with the favorites. The Pride is my 200. Bill, what do you feel about this one?
Well, I just watched a clip of Karrion Kross's finisher, and it's wow, it's something else, I'll tell you that.
It's not, yeah. If the people online either love it or hate it, and I'm just like, I just keep saying it, just what an unnecessary pump handle that is, right? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But whatever.
So, on the basis of that, I'm going to pick the Pride, just because I dislike that finisher so much. And also because I love Bobby, Angelo, and Montez. They're all great, so
yeah.
I'm going to pick them.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no way this is the second last match of the night. This is going to be like, it's going to be like freaking and McIntyre, then Io Sky and Bayley, then probably this one, and then we'll have like LA Knight and AJ Styles. There's just no way that this is the second last matchup. I don't mean to disparage the good people of Wikipedia, but I can't see this. And this is like a big old, I mean, what could happen to make this match interesting? And it's supposed to be a street fight. Is there a chance that somebody from NXT, if we were to spice this match up, is there somebody from NXT that could get the call up for either one of these teams as the fourth member that interferes and helps them and joins whichever group and helps them win? Can you see anybody doing that? Like, could you see Carmelo Hayes showing up and joining the Pride?
Or Trick, or even
not a Trick. It can't be Trick. That's the Trick's too hot. Trick's too hot right now, and he's got too much. Carmelo Hayes, I could see, and although that feels a little bit like, you know, just add another black guy to the team, right? I don't want to necessarily say that, but Carmelo makes the most sense, right? Because you can see him standing next to Bobby Lashley in a suit, looking dope. But yeah, this is just such a nothing of a match. We've already talked about this match way too much. Mac, are you picking? Who are you picking? The Pride or the Final Testament?
I'm going to pick the Pride because I don't want to say that other one.
Fair enough. All right. So, yeah, so clean sweep for the Pride, I guess. All right. Here we go. Time to finish the story of our WrestleMania 40 podcast. We got Roman Reigns. We got Cody Rhodes with the potential for a stipulation on night one, which will likely be this match will likely be under Bloodline rules. We have Cody Rhodes as a minus 425 favorite, and after they laid heavy juice, or sorry, after they laid heavy wood on Roman Reigns last year, when he was like plus 5 or plus 600 last year and came away with the W, they have lowered his odds just in case he were to retain. And oh boy, if he were to retain, like I would sort of, I like, there's a sick part of me that wants Roman Reigns to win this matchup just because, like, watching people melt down on Twitter afterwards would be just, you know, would be just delightful. Roman Reigns plus 265 in this one. So Rhodes, a pretty massive favorite to finish the story and the night, getting that belt that his father just never got. Before we get into the minutia of the matchup, let's just talk. Is there any chance this match doesn't end up with Cody Rhodes as your undisputed Universal Champion? Let's start with Bill.
I mean, I would have said there was no chance he didn't win last year. So, I mean, I'm going to say there's always a chance. There's always a chance that they're going to be like, you know what, let's just keep the belt on Roman. So, I think it's a chance. I sincerely hope that Cody wins, and I think he probably will win. But if Roman Reigns wins, I'm going to laugh, and it'll be a great time.
It would be pretty wild if he won this matchup. Like the toxicity of the internet of wrestling Twitter would reach an unconscionably fever pitch if Roman won this matchup. Can't see it. And also, this could end in some sort of way. Like, I'm curious as to how that, like, not just because, like, Rhodes winning is going to be awesome. It's going to end with, you know, him, you know, with some sort of shout out to his dad, right? Like, he's going to do the sky point, or he's going to do something. He'll be crying. He's going to have tears in his eyes. Like, just a Cinderella boy, tears in his eyes as the WWE champion. But, I mean, like, how they're going to get there is going to be interesting. It's going to be so interesting because, like, there's going to be bloodline rules. So, yeah, so you know the Usos, or sorry, you know people are going to be interfering. Does Jay interfere and turn heel? Does Solo get sick of getting bossed around and turn on Roman? The Rock is like, there's this whole, are Rock and Cody, because, you know, there's this whole speculation on the internet that Cody and Roman are running, or sorry, that Cody and Rock are running a drag on Roman, and this has all been a big setup for the Rock to turn on Roman and become the true head of the table, which would lead to, you know, the Roman Reigns heel face turn, which I think is going to be the ultimate. It's going to be the penultimate thing. The ultimate thing for this matchup is Cody Rhodes finishing the story. The penultimate thing, I think, is that's going to result from this is Roman Reigns' potential face turn down the line. Are there going to be any of the extra Samoan family show up to help Reigns tweet? I've seen speculation that there could be like an Avengers moment where a bunch of the bloodline are all in the ring and they're standing over Cody Rhodes, and then all of a sudden, you know, John Cena and Austin and Stone Cold Steve Austin, the two biggest baby faces of all time, come out and start taking out the bloodline to help Cody Rhodes. It's just there's so many ways this could end. All of them are going to be entertaining. It's just going to be so much fun. All that said, Mac, how about you, Matt? Where are you on Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes?
It could definitely happen that they do this stuff and pull out all these stops and Roman Reigns retains. Like, I have more faith in Triple H being able to, like, he could do this and actually have the next year of wrestling not be hot garbage if Roman Reigns retains. Like, it's not impossible, and even though we'd be really shocked, it could happen. And like Bill said, last year I was like, what the hell? They didn't have Cody win. Next year wrestling is going to be hot garbage. But you know what? It really wasn't. Now, probably, like, with all this build and stuff, like, yeah, I think Cody should, by rights, win it now, too, because how many more years of this does The Rock have in him? And, you know, he can't really do this twice, I think. Well, but maybe Trips will find a way. Never count it out. But if I got to make a pick, because I'm supposed to on this podcast, I'll say Cody.
Yeah, it feels like it's got to be the moment, right? Because you can't have there's the old Daffy Duck adage of there was that old bit on Looney Tunes with Daffy Duck where he blows himself up or something like that, and then as a finale, and Bugs goes like, hey, wow, that was great, and Daffy goes, yeah, the problem is you can only do it once, right? Because once you've done it once, there's no way to top it. And they did the shock Roman WrestleMania win last year. You just can't go back to the well on that one. Because then you're talking about people turning on the blood. Because like you're talking about people turning on the Bloodline storyline. And the way the Bloodline storyline continues is if Rhodes wins and then it becomes Reigns v Rock for the head of the table, right? Like that's ultimately where that's got to go. Depending on how long The Rock sticks around for, because The Rock is technically the final boss, as he's been calling himself. So like, does it go all the way to SummerSlam? You know, where you get, you know, we're on this podcast in August talking about, man, I can't believe this Bloodline is still going and it's still good, because now Rock is going up against Roman's on SummerSlam, and it's going to be awesome. It's tough to say. It's just, God, this is going to be good. This is going to be a really, really fun night of, really fun weekend of wrestling. This is going to be a really good WrestleMania. I have one overarching prediction for this, is that I think whatever they do is going to be, whatever they do in this night two matchup, I think is going to be so good that there's going to be hot takes of people saying, is this the greatest WrestleMania of all time? After Sunday night, I think people are going to be talking about that. Whether that'll be true, probably not, but I think it will be, I think, well, the way night two will end will be cool enough that people will be, you know, at least trying to bang that drum. Of this being the best WrestleMania of all time. Bill, what's your official pick for this match?
Gotta go Cody.
All right, so that's a clean sweep for Cody Rhodes. All right, so that thus concludes our WrestleMania 40 predictions podcast. Do you gentlemen have anything you want to bring up as far as this card or just wrestling in general before we sign off here?
Maybe as a just food for thought. You know, I know we typically cover WWE and we typically cover the main roster. Do you ever want to have any kind of wrap up or a once a year meet about, I don't know, NXT maybe or non WWE?
Oh, I love NXT. NXT is so good right now. I know some people are kind of ripping on it because they think, but like Trick Williams right now is probably my favorite thing going in wrestling right now, other than Dalton Castle is just unassailable for me right now. He is so much fun. I just love that character. I just love the idea of someone taking a character of someone basically watching like Uma Thurman's Poison Ivy entrance in Batman for Batman and Robin and going, let's make a damn character. Let's make an entire wrestling character around that entrance. I love Dalton Castle, and that guy retweets me on Twitter all the time, so huge Dalton Castle fan. And I did just go to a AEW show that was very good in London. And if they go back next year, which Tony Khan came out of the mic and said, yeah, we're coming back, because, man, you guys should come with us next time, because it was the crowd was hot in London. It was hot as a pistol, especially because Edge got to come out first, right, and warm up the crowd. Matt Cardona showed up as the special challenger for that match. That was so awesome. But yeah, there's There's tons of other stuff. It's tough on this pod because I try to do other stuff too. So I you know, because we're talking about, I got this X-Men 97 I got to talk about, and I got you know, like the shows and the sports stuff with Craig. So it's tough. It's tough to do to get on, which is why I kind of got have you guys come on for when the big shit happens in WrestleMania, because it's tough for me to keep up from day to day. It really is, but. I don't know. Like, I'm definitely open to that idea, though, Matt, because it's expanding and talking about other stuff. Anything you want to talk about in particular? What's shaking that ass as far as NXT these days?
I like it. I like the landscape of it. I really like Metaphor right now.
Yeah, the Metaphor is great.
Oh man, it's so stupid, and like it's like that. It's kind of like Team Rocket. Those ridiculous characters. You know, they're just gonna lose in some flamboyant way, and like, and then somehow Noam Dar gets you invested in the match and thinking like, wow, yeah, he's actually putting up a good fight. Like,
yeah, it's good. They're Ninja Turtles. They're like Turtles in Time entrance screen that they do. So awesome. It's so awesome. I really like their, yeah. It's great. Like Trick Williams has probably got one of the best entrances right now. I hope that ends up translating onto the main card with the Whoop That Trick stuff and that song. It's just so good. I really like NXT. I'm a big Chase U fan. I want to get the Chase U t-shirt as well. My daughter's favorite wrestler is Thea Hale, because Thea Hale's got the same name as her. So it's great stuff. I love NXT. I love AEW too. Like, I mean, obviously, like bell to bell, there's nobody better on the planet right now at wrestling than Will Ospreay, is there?
I don't think so.
Yeah, like it's him, right? Like he's that dude. I just like when the bell rings, like I said, bell to bell. When the bell rings to start the match from when it ends the match, I don't think there is a better wrestler on planet Earth right now than Will Ospreay, and he's in NXT doing great stuff, and they're selling those Bruv t-shirts like hotcakes, and he's better on the mic than I thought he would be since coming over to AEW. So I think Triple H might be the thing he's kicking himself in the ass about, because he did try to lowball. Well, if you were to believe the dirt sheets, basically he tried to lowball Will Ospreay, which is why he went to AEW. And I'm guessing Trips thought, I don't really need this guy. That like kind of wrestling style that he does doesn't really fit what we do here. And he might not be great on the mic, but he's been great on the mic since starting in AEW. And so I think Trips might have looked at that and been like, shit, right? Freaked that up. But hey, it's not like the WWE's going to fall apart. Anything you want to bring up, Bill, before we get out of here?
No, I was just going to say I was looking forward to Stand and Deliver on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be fun as well. Oh, it's a lot of cool. Just a great weekend of wrestling. Just to quote another great wrestling podcast, wrestling is great and we love it. I think I freaked up that quote, but whatever. The point still stands. Anyway, that's it for us. Crossover Podcast will be available at thecrossoverpodcast.com, facebook.com/crossoverpodcast, and iTunes. Please rate and subscribe, 5 stars only. And we're also on pretty much any podcatcher that's out there. And if we're not, email us at contact@thecrossoverpodcast.com and let us know, and we'll get ourselves on that on whatever podcatcher that we not happen to be on. And as always, you do not have to listen, but please download the Crossover Podcast. That's going to be it for me for this week. I don't know if we'll have a pod next week. We might. I do want to get somebody on to talk about the X-Men 97 thing that's been happening on Disney Plus. That's been fantastic. I would really like to get... I want to get an old friend. I don't want to commit to the name, but I want to get an old friend that I haven't talked to in a while to come on and chat about that. As well as we're getting close to the NBA and the NHL playoffs. So, you know, I'm going to have Craig on here to talk about once we know what the playoff matchups are, he's going to be on to make a nice little Stanley Cup prediction for me. So that'll be fun. Bill, Mac, as always, great to have you guys on. Take care of yourselves and have fun. Just a glorious weekend for us wrestling fans. It should be great. Take care, you guys, and take care, everybody out there. And we'll see you next time on the Crossover Podcast.